I have an odd sexual fantasy. My fantasy is that I have wild, passionate sex with all the female members of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And afterwards, they get up on stage and joyously sing their praises unto me.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh boy.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, everybody. Make yourself comfortable. This could take a while. Probably not, but it could. You know what I've learned in my life? I've lived a long, long, happy, dysfunctional life. And I don't know, maybe it's not that long just yet, but the one thing that I've learned, the one overriding thing I've learned is you never say to a female, how the hell did you get so fat? That's probably a bad idea. Not that I've ever said it to anybody, but I know people that have, and it didn't turn out well. You know, men walk around all the time saying, I can't figure out women. You just can't figure out women. And women walk around saying, I can't figure out men. You just can't figure out men. And I have an answer to all that, and that is, shut up. Who cares? I don't need to figure everything out. I had that revelation yesterday. I was driving in my car, which is what I tend to do as opposed to just sitting there in the car, which is stupid. I'm driving around, and I'm obsessing about all these things. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm concerned. How do they feel? What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, I had a revelation. I don't know what it was. I don't have a moon roof, so it was nothing that came down from the heavens. I've got like a solid roof in my car, you know? I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden I said to myself, how the hell did I get so fat? I said that to myself. No, what I said was unto myself was, you ever notice that biblical people, they don't talk well. They use all the strange Shakespearean biblical language stuff. And I said unto him, what's the unto? What's the unto for? What are you throwing unto into everything? I hearken. You don't hearken. What's the matter with you? People don't hearken. You don't hearken. Stop hearkening in front of me. Shakespeare was the worst of all. What light through yonder window breaks? What did you just say? Why are you talking like that? Is that some type of brain aneurysm? What doth you bring me? I don't know what you're talking about. I just don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, the revelation was basically that I don't care anymore. I just don't care. And there was this gigantic burden that was lifted off my shoulders, like a bald eagle had swooped down and took all the crap off me. I felt free. I just didn't care anymore. You go to church and people, you got to care. I want you to care for everybody and take them within you. And so there's that language again. And care for everybody. And everybody is your brother and everybody is your sister. Well, who am I going to have sex with then? That kind of limits the field for me. We're all brothers. We're all sisters. Ugh. Well, then, ugh. You've got to care for your fellow man and stuff like that. And I say to myself, okay, yeah, you know, in theory, that sounds really nice. But what a burden lifted off of my shoulders when I said to myself, yeah, I don't care. As I've said on the show so many times, there's a phrase that other people hate, but I have embraced it. I have embraced it like a child teething on a bagel. I have embraced the phrase, the word, whatever. It's the only thing that came out of that new generation that I've embraced. The freedom of actually saying and believing whatever. It's annoying to hear, but exhilarating to feel. I love it. And that comes under the category of, I just kind of don't care, okay? But I'm tired of caring about things. Now, there are people that I care for to an extent. Then I started realizing, why am I caring for these people? They can take care of themselves. And if they can't take care of themselves, what the hell am I doing with them? I don't care. I do care. I mean, I do have a heart. I know I have a heart. My doctor said I have a heart, and I better watch it. That's what my doctor said. You watch your heart, Ron. Too much red meat. I told you that yesterday. She wants me to go vegetarian. And I said, well, that limits the possibilities of things tasting good. I like a good vegetable, but on the side of something else. I don't want a vegetable to be my main meal. Ron, what are you having for dinner tonight? I'm looking forward to a zucchini. That's not exciting. No. Vegetables are something that are just on the side. And you eat vegetables because people tell you that you should. You've got to have something green with every meal. Like I'm Irish or something. I mean, you know, it's very odd that the Irish, by the way, that the color that's associated with them is green. When in their cuisine, there is nothing green whatsoever. The only thing that's green in Irish cuisine is beer when you put food coloring in it. Beyond that, there ain't no green showing up. Not even in the country. Well, actually, the grass is quite green in Ireland. I don't even know why I'm talking about this. So, yeah, my doctor says that, Ron, you really should go vegetarian. Don't eat any more meat. You can have chicken if you want every once in a while, but damn it, pluck it first, will you? I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I care for family. I care for friends to an extent. To an extent. I'm not their keeper. I'm not my brother's keeper. I don't keep anything. I keep some stuff around. I have some stuff that I keep. But not people. I don't keep people. You know, we're all placed on this earth to do what we care to do, the best we can do, as happy as possible. I had a close friend, Steve Roy, that was his name. He passed away. What a wonderful, wonderful guy he was, though. What a wonderful guy. I place him in the wonderful guy category. And there's a lot of room in that category. Oh, There's a lot of room in there to fill up that room. But he's in that room. And I'll never forget this. It was a couple of decades ago. We were sitting at a bar, which we rarely really did. He said to me, Ron, he said, what's the secret of life to you? Why are we here? What's the secret of life? And I said, oh my God, this guy's deep. No one's ever asked me that. No one's ever asked me that before. Basically, all somebody asked me is, can I borrow $10? That's all I really get for conversation. I said, Ron, what's the secret of life? And I said, I've really not thought of that. He said, well, you should. He said, the secret of life is happiness. I said, yeah, I guess that is. What other than that, what's the point? I mean, I don't work for the Red Cross. So I guess it's so that I should be happy on this one journey that I have. Shouldn't I be affecting other people's lives in a positive way? He said, if that's what makes you happy, everybody's definition of happy is it's different for everybody. I said, you're right. You know, you're a saint. He said, no, I'm not a saint. Yeah, he's in that room of good, insightful people. But that was part of my revelation. I have revelations of the same thing frequently. My memory isn't good. I forgot I had the revelation. But the revelation was like, what is happiness to me? It is not having to worry about stuff. Stuff happens. I can't worry about everything. It's not my job. No one hired me to worry about everything. So there you go. So the secret of happiness to me is whatever, whatever. I love it. Don't ever say it to me. It's something that you feel, you don't say it. Very similar to saying to somebody, how'd you get so fat? You don't say it, but you think it. That's the immediate response. That's the problem with not seeing people for a long time, because if you don't see anybody for a long time, whatever they look like is like, it's a shock. Either they look the same or they look really different. If you live with somebody and they're getting fat, you don't notice that because it's very gradual. But when you haven't seen somebody like for a year, whoa. I have mastered the art of making people feel good because it's no effort on my part whatsoever. There is no effort for me to say something nice to somebody. None whatsoever. Not a problem. Not a problem. Hey, how you doing, Bob? Hey, you're looking good. Bob feels good. I don't mean what I said, but it took me like a split second to say it. It's vapid. It's empty. I don't believe what I said to them. But it made them feel good, didn't hurt me, didn't cost me any money, I'm not hungry, no problems, I don't have to pee, I'm good. It took me no effort whatsoever to say something nice to somebody. So I do that a lot. But if I ever say anything nice to you in a very basic manner, I probably don't mean it. I'm just saying it just to get the damn thing over with. I've talked about this before. I don't do small talk well. I'm old enough to know what I do well and what I don't do well. If I'm meeting a person, I don't just sit there and talk to them to find out about them. I literally don't care. Whatever. So I make small talk as long as I possibly can, which is not for a long time. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about Trump. We can talk about the generalities of life, but or maybe we can talk about ourselves. I don't care about you. I certainly do care about me, but not to the point where I would tell you about me. It's all small talk. It's all small talk. I mean, if anybody says to me, it's getting cold outside, I say, look, let's just stop talking right now because I really not interested in you thinking that it's cold outside. You're supposing something that doesn't exist. You really need to get to know me immediately. I don't care if you think it's cold outside. And to be honest with you, I don't even care if I think it's cold outside. There isn't a lot to talk about here. Not a lot to talk about. But thanks for your interest. Go make small talk somewhere else. In the meantime, I'm getting hungry.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hey, thanks for listening. Did you get your refund check yet? I'm not talking about taxes. I'm talking about you get a refund every time you listen to this show. Did you know that? You didn't get the check in the mail? Oh, sorry. I do this every single weekday, like clockwork. My clocks are broken, by the way. I have jet lag. When I switch to daylight savings time, that affects me for a good 6 months. And then I start to get a little used to the fact that the clocks were changed, and I start to adjust. I get a good night's sleep, and I got to change them again, back to standard time. You know, in Massachusetts, where I live, they're considering doing away with daylight savings time. And I say, why don't you just do away with clocks completely? I don't need to know what time it is because I don't care. Whatever. You can find the Ron Van Dam Show on the Podbean Network, on the Alexa Amazon app, on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, SoundCloud, your underpants. I'm all over the place. I remember my mother telling me something, and she only told me because I think it's what mothers are supposed to say to their kids. But she always told me, Ron, it's just like when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, Ron, always make sure that your underpants are clean, because if you're ever in an accident, that would be embarrassing. And I never understood that phrase. I never understood that advice. Because if I'm in an accident, I'm going to soil my pants anyway. And by the way, if I'm in an ambulance and I've been hurt to that extent, I don't think I'm going to care about if my underpants are clean or not. Wow. Wow, Mom. Where did you get that from? See, when I was really, really young, underpants, for guys especially, they were white. They didn't have colored underpants. There were no underoos. There were no black underpants. They're all white. So I think my mother was just saying, change your underpants every day just in case you're in an accident. And I still don't understand what that means. I don't think the reason that I would change my underpants is if I got into an accident. And by the way, why did she say that? Because when I was 8 years old, I couldn't drive a car anyway. What kind of accident was she talking about? What kind of accident could I get into at 8 years old? Trip on a log? I don't understand. I still don't get that whole phrase. You know what? Whatever. Who cares? That is so annoying. It's unbelievable. It is annoying. I'll admit it to you. I'll admit anything to you under duress. Okay. We have some great guests on the program today. At least that's what they told me. I'm not too sure. We got some strange people here. There's no question about it. Who are we going to speak to first here? Come on, help me out, kids. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. What? Are you serious? We're going to talk about the flu, in a feng shui kind of... What? How do feng shui and the flu... How does that work?
Hi, Ron. This is Susan Chan.
Hi, Susan. Nice to see you today. She's a feng shui expert, and we're going to talk about tips for employees and the general public to stay healthy. This is the cold and flu season. Has it begun already?
Yes, it has. We are definitely entering into it, yes.
All right. Okay. I know what feng shui is, but I've never heard it in relationship to medical situations.
Yes, so that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with Staples, because we're adding this new twist to flu prevention. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be sharing energy-enhancing feng shui tips so that we can actually maximize the well-being in the workplace, because feng shui is about mimicking nature, mm-hmm. so that we can balance the energy in the space so that people feel supported, nurtured, and balanced. And in turn, that boosts people's mental and physical health. And that's really needed during this flu season, because that's what's going to keep them healthy.
Huh. I mean, I'm assuming, and I don't know, I'm rather spiritual in a spiritual sense. And I'm always thinking that your mind can be incredibly powerful. And if you set your mind to something or are comfortable with something, that it actually makes a physical difference.
Absolutely. So the mind is definitely one of the important parts of staying healthy. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I would say, is your environment. So that's why we're bringing in the feng shui, because your environment can have direct influence on how you're feeling, right? And when our energy is low, like I said, that's when we can get sick.
Okay. Now, you got to have clean air to kind of to feel healthy, right?
Yes.
And how
because feng shui is about energy flow.
Okay, so now how do you clean the air in your atmosphere without running air conditioners and things like that?
Right. So that's a good question, because in offices it can be a little challenging. Mm-hmm. So what we recommend, so some feng shui tricks that you can do to help the air would be to introduce plants, because plants are natural purifiers. And again, it's like mimicking nature. When you have plants, it's really great for the environment. And you can also get an air purifier or a filter.
Oh, okay.
And if possible, so it's really simple. And if you can open up windows, if possible, that would be really fantastic. Or even if you're in a conference room, right, between meetings, open up the door, let the fresh air come in, let it circulate, and you'll definitely see the change in the energy.
Yeah, in many of our office buildings now and work environments, the windows are shut because we don't trust people not to jump out of them, apparently.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, literally, you can't really, the environment is all artificial through ventilation systems and such, so air purifiers and plants kind of make a lot of sense. Very, very quickly, because I never understood this. Why is it healthy to have plants around? What do they actually do to the air?
So they actually take whatever, so that's why it's like we have, people love having trees and forests, because what they do, is they take the toxins, right, and they take they add more oxygen.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so what you're doing is you're adding more clean air that we can breathe, and that always makes us feel better, right?
Okay.
Because when we're out of breath, right, especially when we're not feeling well, that's
yes.
what we need. We need that boost.
Okay. All right. Go on.
No, because I was going to say that, you know, most people, when they feel sick, a lot of them come into work anyway, right? And so when you have people coming into work, you know, there was a survey conducted by Staples where they found that more than 73% of people catch the flu at work. So we want to
sure.
do these things. We want to encourage our offices and our office managers to really be that first line of defense this flu season, because we can prevent it.
All right. And you're not saying not to get a flu shot.
I'm not saying anything about the flu shot.
Okay,
what we're trying
right.
to do is
all
just
right.
prevent it, yeah,
okay.
prevent it in your environment.
Okay, all right, fine. Speaking of Staples, I mean, I'm glad you're partnering up with them, but, I mean, people who actually work retail, my God, how many people do they come in contact with in the space of a day?
Oh, I'm sorry, but how many people do they come in contact with? Oh,
yeah.
A ton.
Yeah.
So according to the CDC, as you know, you might not know, that the flu can live on surfaces for up to 48 hours.
Uh-huh.
And so can you imagine these, you know, the employees coming in? So a great thing that office managers can do is that they can actually purchase some sanitizing wipes.
Right.
And so that people have access to them so they can wipe down the surfaces before they start working and hopefully prevent the further right. spread of the flu.
Now, on the nasty side of business, not that, you know, they're nasty businesses, but businesses are very concerned about getting their employees to work. It's not great for them when their employees get sick. They don't want them in the work environment because you get other people sick, but you're also like lowering your efficiency and your output. So they want as many healthy employees as possible. So a business really would be interested in this to keep their employees healthy. That means that they come to work.
Yes, I agree with you. If they can really start implementing some of these tips,
yeah.
because people, you know, they did a survey where, a workplace survey, where 80% of employees believe that their employers have the responsibility to keep them physically and mentally
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we go in, we don't want to get sick. We want to stay healthy.
Right.
So, I agree with you. People want to stay healthy, and employers should keep them healthy because they want them to be the most productive and happy.
Okay. And, I mean, just between you and me, the workspace can be transposed into a home. Many people work out of their homes as well. And having a healthy home environment is, like, just as important.
Yes, absolutely. So many people work from home these days, and they can actually use these tips as well in their office space.
Uh-huh.
And what I, you know, lots of times what I see is in, you know, in doing feng shui consultations is that people don't have the proper lighting in their offices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially, you know, in office spaces, but also even in homes.
Uh-huh.
So what I would recommend is introducing full-spectrum lighting, which mimics nature. And again, back
yeah.
to feng shui, it's all about nature and keeping in balance. So adding full-spectrum lighting maybe to your overhead light or to your desk, and use that throughout the day because that will actually help boost your immune system and your energy.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Actually mimics daylight, right?
It does. It's like the sun.
Wow, without having to put suntan lotion on.
Exactly.
That's a good deal. Any other tips, Susan?
You can introduce colors as well. Let's go a little further,
oh.
right? So we can introduce colors into your space because we're really affected by what we see.
Yeah.
So we recommend using colors like green and purple, which are the wood elements in feng shui. And
yeah.
it represents healing. It represents vibrant health and vitality. And then also the color yellow is an earth element. And when you introduce earth, it's very grounding for people. So during those times when, you know, the sun's like out a lot later, or if it's
mm-hmm.
darker longer, you want to have those elements to help them feel boosted and energized.
Very interesting. I guess there are tons of other tips. Where can I get them?
Yes, absolutely. So you can go to staplesadvantage.com/health and wellness, and you can set up an account to have those flu fighting supplies delivered right to your office door. And you can get some more feng shui tips at my website at fengshuicreative.com.
Perfect. Susan Chen, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Interesting. Feng Shui. Feng Shui. I have a friend. She has a tree in her office. It's a real tree. By the way, Feng Shui, you can't do artificial plants. No. Then you have an artificial life, which I do anyway, actually. She has a plant, and this plant has, I think she explained it's been somewhat blessed or something, and she calls it her money tree. And she took, like, a coin, and she put it in the dirt from which the tree sprouts in her office. You know, one of those, you know, corner tree plant things. And she put a coin in there, and she calls it her money tree. And when she stares at it or thinks about it, and it's in her office, she makes money. She's financially successful in that way. And I feel like saying, if I cared, but I don't, I feel like saying, you really need to see somebody because you're nuts. Putting a coin in the base of a plant isn't going to make you rich. However, there is one thing that I do understand, and that is that the mind is a powerful thing. And if you really believe that that's a money tree in the room with you in your office, and that good things come out of that, then I guess it works. Who am I, as a mere mortal human being, who am I to judge? If it works for you, why should I say anything? Why should I say it's ridiculous? Hey, whatever. It's like religion. Whatever works for you. If you're happy, you're comfortable, it gives you comfort, it gives you hope, and your life is, but go for it, man. That's fine. As long as you don't hurt other people with your silly ideas. But otherwise, fine, good, go for it. Speaking of going for it, every once in a while on this program, I mention omega-3 fish oil. I do it a lot because I take it a lot. I take a good amount of it all the time, and I do feel pretty good most of the time. So I guess, like the feng shui, if you believe it, then thus it shall be. That's in the Bible, I think. Paragraph 6, some, I don't know how that goes. So we've got standing by here a omega-3 a person. And once and for all, I'm going to figure out exactly what I should be doing this omega. What exactly is it doing? Is it worth me to do this all the time? My mother told me, well, I think she said, Ron, take fish oil every single day. Of course, she's no longer with us. It didn't work for her, I guess. But but I do it. I do it. And my doctor says to do it, so I do it. My doctor also says that I should be eating fish 3 times a week. And I said, if I did that, I'd smell like fish 3 times a week. I'm taking omega-3 because you told me to take it. What do you want me to turn into, a fish? I don't know how much longer she's going to keep me as a patient because I am extremely annoying. I really am. All right, let's talk about omega-3. Dr. Catherine Sharif joins us. She is a professor and vice chair at the Department of Medicine at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia. Thanks for being with us today. We're talking about a survey that was done recently. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we had really surprising results of our study. We found that even though most people agree that omega-3 fatty acids are important for your health, and most say that they could get it through diet alone, almost none had enough blood levels of omega-3s to protect them from heart disease. 98% were deficient.
That's 98% is a significant deficiency. Okay, so what we're talking about is possibly supplementing your diet with omega-3 fatty acids. I'm going to ask you right off the top, how much should one be taking, in the ballpark of what area?
Well, our best guess is 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s a day. Mm-hmm. And the particular omega-3s we have in mind are EPA and DHA.
Right.
So if you buy something that says fish oil on it, a whole bunch of that is actually going to be just oil.
Okay.
And some of it, though, is going to be EPA and DHA. So I would encourage you to get a capsule that's 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA, or, you know, close enough
right.
to 1,000. And then you absolutely, it's critical, you got to take it with food. And if you don't take it with food, you're never going to absorb it.
Oh, now I had no idea about that. Boy, you're valuable right yeah. now. I never heard that before.
So, yeah, just...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the EPA is 1,000 and the DHA is 1,000, or combined they're 1,000?
Combined is 1,000.
Okay.
And
very good.
Yeah. So you just turn those bottles around. Also, make sure they don't say omega-6. There should not be a speck of omega-6, right? And they can't... Because these are double bonds, they're very subject to rancidity.
Yeah.
So make sure you know that it's a dark bottle and it's not expired.
Oh, whoa. Now, when you say when you take it with foods, it can be any food at all, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to go out of your way to find fatty food.
All right. Okay, fine. What about flaxseed oil? People are talking about that. Is that a viable substitute or not the same?
Flaxseed is not a viable substitute, and it is a short-chain amino acid called alpha-linolenic acid, ALA, as opposed to DHA and EPA, which are long-chain fatty acids. And ALA is very important, but it doesn't protect against heart health. And so you're not getting the same thing, and you won't be protected against heart disease. Isn't that something?
It is something. What if you have some hypertension, as most of America has, or at these days should have? Does this actually make a difference in that realm?
It does lower blood pressure in some people,
uh-huh.
but it depends on the amount of omega-6 that's in your diet.
Okay.
So it doesn't act like a blood pressure pill. Mm. However, it will move towards it. You know, I think that's a great insight about how everybody has hypertension these
mm-hmm.
days.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Either environmentally or through, you know, through heredity. It's a major
yeah.
concern, and the numbers are a lot higher than people even reveal, most likely. So this is a way of protecting your heart, whether you have a heart disease or not. The heart's kind of an important thing to take care of.
Yes.
Don't
forget, you walk into a room, you look at 50% of the people in this room are going to be dead from a heart attack or stroke.
Okay, well, that's uplifting, but true.
Yeah.
Okay, now, in the pharmacies, we can't call them drugstores anymore. In the pharmacies, there are tons of choices of omega-3s. You've told us about, you know, protecting it from sunlight and that kind of thing. But are indeed some brands not up to par with other brands? I mean, we're not talking brands, but it's not like everything that's labeled omega-3 is same quality, right?
Exactly. So go to a website called labdoor.com, labdoor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they rank them 1 to 100 mm-hmm. in terms of do they say what they say they have in there? Is it right? And is it rancid? Are there other byproducts? Are there heavy metals? And so on and so forth.
Okay. Are there sugars in these pills?
No. No sugars.
Very good. Well, that's a switch. Usually there's some amount of something in it in order to make it palatable. That's very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other advice for us?
Yes, please. Make sure you take it with food.
With food, for sure. Otherwise, it's ineffective, or can it actually cause stomach harm?
Will cause no harm, but you will not be receiving the benefits of omega-3.
Ah. You know, there are millions of people who have been taking omega-3s for quite a while now, and they probably never knew that part of it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, God.
I know.
All right, because, I mean, me, I take it twice a day, morning and evening, but in the morning, no, not with food. So I'm changing. Thank you so much. I think you saved my life here.
Oh, I think I did, too.
Okay, all right. Wow, took credit really quickly. Okay, one more time. Where do we go for more information?
Sure, the website is globalnutritionhealth.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're running out of time for today. Actually, that's not the case. I just feel like stopping. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Are you excited about that?
Whatever.
Okay. Until then, I wish you peace.